Okay, tonight's shir is Ili Nishmas, my grandfather Menachem Ben Yaakov, whose yard site is tonight. Parshas Truma, Torah tells us, Vakimosa es ha-mishkan kemishpato es shehareisa bahar. Moshe Ben was commanded to erect the Mishkan kemishpato as per the laws that Moshe Ben was shown at Har Sinai. Says Yerushalmi in the 12th parak of Shabbos, Amr of Amy, Vakimosa es ha-mishkan kemishpato. What does that mean? Literally, according to the Mishpat, according to the law, is there a law for wood? Ella, Ezahu, Keresh, Zachel, Yinasim, Betzafon, Yinasim, Betzafon, Bedarim, Yinasim, Bedarim. Whatever material was placed when the Mishkan was erected the first time in the north, whatever Keresh was on the north side, would stay in the north side even when the Mishkan was disassembled and reassembled. Whatever started in the south would stay in the south. So last year, Parshas Pekudei, we discussed the sugya of Malin Bakodesh Ve'en Maridin. And one of the sources for Malin Bakodesh Ve'en Maridin is this Yerushalmi about the Krashim staying in the same location. Tonight, we're going to discuss another halacha concept, which according to Rishonim emerges from, or at least partially from, this Yerushalmi as well, and that is the sugya of chazaka b'mitzvahs, whether there is a chazaka, a right, that a person has, an exclusive right, to performance of a certain mitzvahs where they have a track record of exclusivity for that mitzvah. Says the Tshuvas Tashbeis, Chelis Simen Kuf Vav, was a shayla, Reuven Hikdish Sefer Torah L'Beis HaKnesses, so Reuven donated a Sefer Torah to the shul, and for many years, that was the Sefer Torah of record that they leaned from on a weekly basis. It was a nice Sefer Torah. It was well written. It was huga ayidei mumcha. It was properly vetted. And now someone else from the shul wants them to lean from a different Sefer Torah. Says the Tashbeitz, min adin ein lo la'akib azeh. So the other guy has no right to change the status quo where people lean from the first Sefer Torah. Kevin Shenogu Lotzio, since the practice was to lean Dafka from the first Sefer Torah, the Zacha Litol Mishmarto, and that Sefer Torah had a certain status. How do we know that there's any such status to Sefer Torah being lean from creating a Chazaka? So he quotes, Are Yerushalmi, Ake Mosas HaMishkan Kimishmato, that whatever Keresh was in the north state in the north, whatever was in the south state in the south, Mikan Lamanu, that is a source for Kosei being a Malacha and Malacha Samishkan and Malacha Shabbos, because that was the instance of Kosei in the Mishkan, because they would write a letter code on the Keresh to know what was on the north side, what was on the south side. He says the same is true over here, that if a Sefer Torah was Muchzak, is being used, so that Sefer Torah has the right to continue to be used in that forum. Aside from the fact that he says that if you stop using one Sefer in favor of another Sefer, people may think that there's a pagan, that there's something wrong with the first Sefer Torah. Shuas Rivash says the same idea in a similar kind of a shayla. Shuas Rivash Simon Reish Ayin Aleph Shamina Mia Shamisha Hichzik Afila Me Atmo Deiza Srara Odin Kedima. The Tashbeis was talking about the right to use a certain Sefer Torah that was donated. The Rivash is talking about people that have certain communal positions of authority. So someone has such a position, even if it wasn't an elected position per se. O din kadima, or someone has the first right to perform some kind of communal function. We don't remove it for that person, even to give it to someone who is more objectively worthy. Since the first guy already was zocha in the right to perform such a mitzvah, unless it's a clash between an amaris and a tamachacham, but maybe then you have the right to favor the tamachacham, even if the amaris has a chazaka. But short of that, whoever has chazaka for a position of authority or for the right to perform a certain mitzvah retains that right. So that's potential source number one for this notion of chazaka b'mitzvos, and parallel perhaps chazaka b'srara from this Yerushalmi of the Krashim. There's a second source, which we'll see is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and that is a Mordechai Bava Basra Perichesca Sabatim Simin Taf Kuf Lamed Gimel. Nishal Maram Al Adam Shayaragil Lashum Mitzvah. Person had a track record of performing a certain mitzvah. He had exclusive right for that mitzvah. Kigon Beglila. He always got Glila and Shol. O B'Sefer Torah Shnia, or the second Sefer Torah. I assume what he means is the person that held the second Sefer Torah while they're leaning from the first Sefer Torah, when there are two Sefer Torah taken out. The Iru Ones, and something happened that prevented him from continuing in that capacity. O Oni, or he got poor, meaning this is something that there was an auction for, and he had a chazak on bidding for this kibbut, but then he became poor and was unable to continue funding that kibbut. V'nasnu akal es ha-mitzvah la'acher, and then the kehila gave it over to someone else. V'acher ka'acheshir. And now this guy is back on his feet again. V'ratzah she'yafzir lo es ha-mitzvah. And he wants to go back to his previous position of having exclusive rights to perform this mitzvah. So says the Mordechai, near a shechozi la'mitzvah so, he has the right to go back. That the only reason that he stopped performing the mitzvah was because circumstances happened beyond his control. He wasn't able to fund that kibbutz anymore. Now that he has the money again, he goes back to his original status. If it was the case that he decided he wasn't interested in paying up anymore, and then he comes back years later and changes his mind, so he lost all rights. But if the reason that he didn't pay up and wasn't able to pay for this kibbutz was because of his financial situation, and now his financial situation was restored to its former status, then he has the right to reclaim his previous honor. And the Mordechai quotes as a raya for this, a Gemara / Tosfos in Yuma. The Gemara in the beginning of Yuma talks about the status of a Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, that if a Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur became Tomei, they would have a second Kohen Gadol in his place to perform the Avodah in his stead. And what was the status of that first Kohen Gadol once he becomes Torah again? So the Gemara there says that we paskin the first Kohen Gadol goes back to his previous status. That's what the Gemara says, Halacha Kirb Yosi, Yuma Yudbeis on the Beis. And then Tosos asks on Yuma Yudgimel Amin Aleph, Halacha Kirb Yosi, Tema, Hilchos Ol Mashicha. Of what relevance is this halacha lemaisa? But the Gemara says hilchasa. That's not a common phrase in the Gemara. The Gemara says hilchasa usually is telling us a halacha lemaisa conclusion. What halacha lemaisa conclusion is there in this shaila of the status of a Kohen Gadol who became Tameh and now is Tara again? There's no Beis HaMikdash now. So says Tosfos Yesh Lomar, the Ika Nafka Mina Fil Bizman Hazeh. No, this is relevant even Bizman Hazeh. Lefarnes Hamimuna Aletzib, Lefarnes Hamimuna Aletzibor. If you have someone in a position of communal authority, the Avar Machmas Onus, and he had to relinquish that position due to circumstances beyond his control, Shekeshiavra Onus, Choser Le Shrarasso. When that onus passes, he is restored to his previous position of Srara. The Gam Nogan Kava Basheni, and then you still give Kava to the second guy as well. So Maram says, this is, Maram Kodan the Mordechai says, this is relevant to our shaila of chazaka b'mitzvos, that if a person is muktzah to perform a certain mitzvah, and then due to some onus situation, he has to give it up, once the onus passes, he has the right to demand it back. And this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch la'halacha, Arachayim Simen Kuf Nun Gimel Se'if Kuf Beis, Adam Shuragel V'shul Mitzvah Kogon Glila, the Iru Onus, so Oni V'nasu Akala Mitzvah La'acher, V'acher Kacheshi V'ratza She'afir La'as HaMitzvah, in mitzvah so if the guy gave it up because he wasn't interested anymore, even though he could afford it, he loses his right. But if he wasn't able to do it because he couldn't afford it anymore, now he's back to his previous financial state, he wants to go back and fund the shul at the same level as before. Choser lemitzvaso. And the Rambam says this as well in Choshe Mishpat, Simen Kuf Memtes, Simen Kuf Memtes, the end of the Siman. I forgot what Sif it is. The end of Siman Kuf Mentes in Choshe Mishpat. Adam Shehitzak B'mitzvah Kigom B'glilo Sefer Torah. The Iru Onas V'nasna Makihilas V'mitzvah L'acher. Kishaber Onso Shavisha Choshe L'mitzvahso. Ahol Iyam Nasan V'mitzvah L'acher B'lo Onas V'zbal L'chaskaso. So the same thing that we saw in the Mechaber in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, the Ramah quotes in Choshe Mishpat as well. Rav Avadya, in a tshuva on this topic, Yabi Omer Chelek Zayin Simen Kaf Gimel, Chelek Zayin Simen Kaf Gimel, points out that the Shiara Knesset HaGadola raises what sounds like a stira in the Mordechai. There's another Mordechai, Megillah, Simen Taf Taf Lamed Gimel, where the Mordechai writes, as far as the kibud of Galila, Al Masha Sha'altem, Sheshimon, going for the Orzerua, Sheshimon Mocha Biad Misha Kanamin Akala Hosi Sefer Tarim and Aran Akresh, Vilasita Biad Shatz. So someone bought the right to Hotzah, Bechain Lasira, Hotzah Bachnasa, Nasa Hotzah, Yamos Alalu Boz, the Kith Shel Staka. And the money that is raised from giving out the kibud goes to stock of funds. The Shimon Mocha Mineshizu Mitzvah Shel Chazan. And Shimon says, no, it's the right of the Chazan to take out the Sefer Torah from the Aron. I mean, the Baal Shachris should go over and take it out himself and not allow someone else to take it out for him because that's his right. So the Orzerua said, that's not true. It's not true. The Chazan has no such right to take out the Sefer Torah. And he concludes that as far as the right to fund Yayin Lahavdala in Shul, which is something also given out to the highest bidder, you're allowed to give that to the highest bidder, whoever gets more tzedaka. And there's no notion of Yerusha B'mitzvahs if someone had the right to fund the Havdalah wine and shul and then passes away. You can't just give it to someone else. It doesn't automatically go to the Yorish. So the Shiara Knesset HaGadolah was bothered. The Mordechai in Bava Basra says, Yesh Chazaka B'mitzvahs. And here, the Mordechai seems to be saying, there isn't such a chazaka b'mitzvah. So says the Shiara Knesset HaGadolah that provide your quotes, that no, the Mordechai Megillah is talking about Dafka Yerusha. So yeah, it may be true that all things being equal, there is chazaka b'mitzvahs. That doesn't necessarily mean that there's Yerusha b'mitzvahs. The fact that Reuven has the chazaka doesn't mean that when he passes away, it goes to his son. Rav Asher points out, I bought this week the new Minchas Asher LaTorah. So he has a piece that didn't appear in the previous version on this Sedra, on this topic, which I only saw after I decided to talk about it today, or for today's year. So he thinks there's a simpler Yishuv between the two Mordechais, that it's true that all things being equal, there is Chazaka for mitzvahs. But when a shul gives out kibudim to raise funds for the shul, the shul has every right to give it out to the highest bidder. So the fact that someone might have been the highest bidder for years doesn't mean that he has lifetime rights to bid on a kibud. If someone else is going to outbid him, then the shul has the right to collect from whoever's going to give more tzedaka to the shul. That's not a violation of chazaka b'mitzvah. Chazaka b'mitzvah is when all things are equal and the shul stands to gain and not lose from this person retaining that right. But it's a free market and the shul has the right to give out a kibud to the highest bidder if that's going to fund the shul. The last line, till then he's not talking about Yerusha, but the last line is Lo Shayach Yerusha Mitzvahs. That is synonymous with chazaka.
Yeah.
Right, so that's the basis of the kasha. That's what Rav Avadya quotes to take it literally. But you're right, so Rav Asher's approach is maybe more more fit better in the whole piece. Right, correct. But it
the Shulchan Aruch case is not talking about a case of bidding.
It's not clear that it's a case where it's subject to bidding, meaning there was a going rate. So it always cost $100. He always paid the $100. At one point, he wasn't able to afford it anymore. Then someone else stepped in and paid the $100. It's not at all clear that he's talking about a context where there's a bidding war going on.
People shouldn't go back to the
That's what Rav Asher is saying, right?
That's not sourced in Shulchan Aruch, because it's not good.
Correct.
Yeah, but maybe by definition,
there's certain people.
Right. Presumably.
There's certain people that get upset if you try not to.
Right, but it. So if there's a system where it's understood that that it's a fair market and whoever gets the highest bid gets the kibud, then that's understood. If there's kind of an understanding that this person has the right to it and always bids and always gets it, so then that gets a little bit more complicated. The Radvaz that the Mishabura quotes has a third possible source for the notion of chazaka b'mitzvos. This is a Chuvas HaRadvaz in Chelek Dalit Simen Yud Aleph or Simen Aleph Pei Hei. His shaila was about an almana in Yerushalayim or a chazaka that she always lit the candles in the heichal shel Beis Knesses shel Yerushalayim at certain times during the year, and the local parnasim wanted to sell this chazaka to someone else for a higher price, and she claimed that no, she had the right to do it as an almana, that it was her husband who built this whole Heichal bought the rights to supply the lighting system for whatever days a year they were supplying. So in his analysis of this question, whether you can kick out the almana from her chazaka and sell it to a higher bidder, he quotes a Gemara in Gittin as a possible source for this notion of chazaka b'mitzvahs. The Mishnah in Gittin on Daf Nun Tes lists a whole series of things that were established midrabanan or takanos because of darkei shalom, things that fundamentally have no basis other than darkei shalom. One of the things in the Mishnah's list is ma'arvin bebayis yashan mipnei darkei shalom, that the box of matzahs for the Erev Chatzeros should always stay in the same house, that if someone has a chazaka that he has a box of matzahs, then you shouldn't change it. Why? So the Gemara, what's this darkei shalom? So Gemara says in Sama Chamei Beis, Ma'arvin b'bayis yashar b'nei darkei shalom, my taima, ilei mishum kavod, if it's just a matter of kavod for the balabayis, v'ha hu shipura d'hava meikara bei Rav Yehuda l'vasof bei Rabba l'vasof bei Rav Yosef l'vasof bei Abaye l'vasof bei Rabba. So the Gemara assumes it's a matter of kavod, then we should have applied the same thing by this shipura to Lashon and Rashi. Was this the shofar that they blew an air Shabbos to warn everybody to stop doing malacha, or was it a kind of a pushka? Whatever it was, it was transferred from house to house, and apparently there no one had any problem. So if it's a matter of kavod, we should have been concerned about the kavod of the host for that shofar. Ela mishim chashada, rather it's a concern of chashad, of suspicion. What does that mean? Says Rashi, since it was always placed in that house, in Basel Lashanos as Makomo, Hanifnas and the Oso Abayas, the low Yeru Shamas Erev, Yachshaduas Bene Chatzer, Shimataglo Erev. So everyone knows that the Erev Chatzeros in Hesek is housed in BTU. So if someone walks in on Shabbos and doesn't see the Erev in BTU, then they'll think that there's Erev Chatzeros in Hesek. That's what Rashi says the Pashad is. And Tosos says no. What does it mean, Mishim Chashada? Perisha Benetam, Shelo Yom Rubimnea Chashad, Shechoshdim Oso, Ligno Paschal Erev, Emanichun Oso Sham. That people shouldn't think that the guy stole it if it's not where we expect it to be. So at first glance, none of that should have any relevance to the question of Chazaka B'mitzvah. So we're talking about what seems to be a different kind of Chashad. But nevertheless, the Radvaz says that No, one element of this chashad is this notion of azaka. He says, in bedavar she'eno shel mitzvah she'a erev munach bebeisa amrkach. So if when it comes to something that there's no mitzvah to house in erev chatzeros, yet we say that it had you leave it wherever it always was. Kosher ken by lachas haheichal she mitzvah. Kosher ken when it comes to lighting a shul where there is a mitzvah involved, then you should leave it as was. I vim tomar shani hasad dilamidi chasu bali chatzer. No, when it comes to the erev chatzeros, there's no financial loss or there's no financial gain. It doesn't make a difference where he has erev chatzeros. He says that's not true. There also there's a potential financial gain because if you put in your house, then you don't have to contribute to the masses yourself because you're housing it. So there is a financial gain there as well. I, doesn't the Gemara say, the concern is chashad. So what does chashad have anything to do with chazaka the mitzvos? So he says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, who says that the chashad is will think that maybe someone stole from the bread for the Erev Chatzeros, and that's why he put it somewhere else. See here too. Maybe people will think that there was something wrong with the way the first person was lighting the candles, and that's why they got rid of him, because there's some shady activity going on, and therefore that's relevant to our situation as well. So far, we have three potential sources for the notion of chazaka the mitzvos. Number one, what the Rivash and the Tashbeis quote from the Yushami of the Prashim, that the northern Keresh always stays in the north, the southern Keresh always stays in the south. Then we have the presentation of the Radvaz, that based on this Gemara in Gittin, that just like the Erev Chatzeros matzah or bread always takes the same house, so do chazaka bin mitzvos. And we have the Mordechai, the Maram, based on Yuma by the Kohen Gadol, that even if a Kohen Gadol becomes Tommy and someone takes his place, the Kohen Gadol has the right to return to his previous position of authority. In right, right. So, correct. The shot alone wouldn't help either. Right. Okay. Good. So, in the state Maracha and Chazaka Mitzvos, he quotes a couple of Rishonim that sound like they somewhat temper the applicability of chazaka b'mitzvos. Rambam in Shuva Pe'er Hador, Simon Kufnun Hay. Einu b'mishi yesh lo minag lalos sefer Torah mashlim likraf Torah o b'li acheres yaduah lo b'lavosav v'samen ha-chazaka v'serna liya. V'hi hayom iru yichidei akal ozeh v'amru she'im rosem lalos sefer Torah m'kobo. They decide, ishach, they decide when to give the lead to someone else. And they say there's no chazaka balios. It says the Rambam, im isha lezasher rosa lalos and koma godo vimanim chachma biyera yemashe yomru ki chukei haTorah einan kirtzon ish ve'ish lahachim b'davar hu. That, yeah, that if you have a reason to give the elite to someone else, if he's a more chasha person, so the whoever got the elite before doesn't have absolute rights to continue. Im u'shove, if all is equal, ulai mishim darkei shalom, then you should keep the status quo. If the guy who they want to give the liya is to is on a lower level, then keep it the way it was because Ma'alim HaKodesh Lama Rita. But fundamentally, there's no overarching principle of Chazaka B'mitzvos. It could be offset by other considerations. And Truma Sadeshen, Tzakim, Simin, Kuf, Kafkes, he's talking in the context of a position of communal authority where someone else wants to come and compete with the existing communal leaders for a position of srara. So he says the whole sugya is in Lo Yachbor in Bava Basra about Yomi Sochem Nasa Shachaveira that you can't open a competing business. That's relevant if you're going to take business away from someone else or put someone out of business. But here, if we're talking about the Rabbanus or positions of communal authority, there's no financial benefit to that. And even though he says that people in those positions get money for some of the rabbinic functions that they perform, like gittin, chalitza, birchas erusin v'nisuin. So then you'll say you're taking away business because this other guy is opening a breakaway shul and he's going to do the seder kedushin, he's going to do the gittin, chalitza, and get money for that. He said it's hard enough to justify how they were allowed to take money for that in the first place. So you can't really say that that's considered tapping into someone else's parnasa. And therefore, when it comes to such positions of srara, he's not, he doesn't think that there's such an objection to opening a competing shul. Yes, Rav Moshe's tshuva about a sagas will by shuls is very big chiddush. Yeah, that doesn't seem to be in the Truma Sadeshin doesn't seem to fit with that. So Rav Avadia, Halacha Lamaisa, Rav Avadia, Yabia Omer, Chelek Zayin, Arachayim, Simon Kav Gimel, he was asked 1978. A parochas was donated by a certain family in Shul in honor of deceased relatives, and the parochas was there for 10 years straight. And now, suddenly, the family walks into Shul, and they see that the parochas was replaced with another parochas. And they're upset. So the Shul decided maybe make a pshara, that one of them will be their Shabbos and Yontiv, and one of them will be there on a different rotational basis. So what's the din? So Rav Avadia says that he goes through a whole analysis of the sugya of chazaka mitzvos. His conclusion is that you should try to avoid machlokas as much as you can. That it's never kedai to cause machlokas in order to fulfill any mitzvah. He goes marmer kamos to that effect, rachmana liba bai. And therefore, hopefully everyone's kavana is l'shem shamayim, and you want to perpetuate the memory of the deceased properly in a positive way. So the families should come to some kind of a working understanding of pshara in order to avoid machlokas. That's his recommendation after analyzing the sukkah. We're kind of out of time. We'll just end with one marmakam. Interesting discussion in the Shari Tshuva in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, where this is a relevant question to Chazaka for Bali Tkiyah and Chazaka for Bali Tfilah of Yom and Noraim. So there's a Shari Tshuva in Simin Tav Kuf Hey Aleph, who quotes a Tshuva of the Panim Iros. Panim Iros is dealing with the question of, you have a shul where one person has a chazaka to blow shofar the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and someone else has a chazaka to blow shofar the second day of Rosh Hashanah. What happens when one day of Rosh Hashanah, or it's the first day, falls on Shabbos? So who has the right to blow on day two? Right, so that's part of the back and forth. So the part of the Eros connects us to machlokas about different mitzvahs by maravos. What happens if the first night of Sukkot falls on Shabbos, and then you don't say the maravos for the first, you don't say maravos on Shabbos? So the second night of Sukkot, do you say the maravos for the first night, or the maravos the second night? So he thinks that it should be totally on that. And then the Shari Tshuva says, well, why don't you do the other? Maravos is tefillah, so maybe these maravos were always established for the first day of Yontif. If the first day of Yontif falls on Shabbos, you don't say it. What does that have to do with chazaka for tkiyas shofar? So he has studied l'kan l'kan, but he leaves that ultimately as a tzarachian, what you do in that situation. If when the people started, presumably there's some kind of understanding, so then you go with that understanding. If for whatever reason, when they first started blowing, they didn't realize that some years Rosh Hashanah falls in Shabbos, and they didn't have a plan, then the Shari Tshuva leaves that as a tzarachian l'maisa. Yeah. Okay, I guess same kind of question. Good, but as Rav Avadia said, the most important thing is to avoid machlokas.
What happened if you choose first and what is first and what is the
volume? Right.
And that's the one that's the red.
That's the shu of the Tashrei that we started with. Right. So some say that maybe this whole discussion is only relevant if there were multiple Sefer Torah. If you had two Sefer Torah and you always learn from one Sefer Torah, so that creates a chazaka. But if you only had one Sefer Torah, now you got a second one. So the reason you learned for the first one is not the only Sefer Torah you had. So now they have a second one. Maybe the chazakas are off and you have to figure out a new modus operandi. Yep.
You don't people
that the right? Right. Mm-hmm. So I guess the board has to figure it out. Good.